సాద్వైతం సవధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖామృతాంశ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీన బంధు జగత్పతే భూపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే సప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ శ్రీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛా కల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమః ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివాసది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 స్వయం ఏవాత్మనాత్మానం ఏకత్వం పురుషోత్తమ భూత భావన భూతేశ దేవదేవ జగత్పదే ఇండీడ్ యూ అలోన్ నో యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ బై యువర్ ఓన్ ఇంటర్నల్ పొటెన్సీ ఓ సుప్రీం పర్సన్ ఒరిజిన్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. Hare Krishna. I'd like to welcome everybody for the Saturday Bhagavad Gita discourse. And I'd like to thank everyone for welcoming me also to this program. In this verse, we are discussing these are very significant verses, as we would have discussed in the last couple of weeks. The four Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, as it is called, has just been completed. And after hearing it, Arjuna, who is a great devotee of Krishna, he is reacting to that. And he is glorifying the Supreme Lord Krishna by speaking these words. The first thing that comes to mind when we read this verse is that, you know, what Arjuna is saying is that you alone, you Krishna, you alone know yourself by your own internal process, potency. What does that mean? It means that for the rest of us, it is not possible to know Krishna fully. It is simply not possible. You know, we can go on speculating and speculating and speculating for millions of lifetimes. But we will never know, just by the process of speculation and gathering knowledge, you will never know really Krishna. Who is Krishna? You may understand some aspect, some one small drop you may understand. But generally speaking, it's not so simple, it's not so cheap to understand who is Krishna, who is God. You know, and specifically, Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that unless one is, you know, a devotee of the Lord, unless one is a devotee of the Lord, it is simply not possible to understand the supreme truth or Krishna. It's not possible. You may understand some partial manifestation of the Supreme Lord to some small extent, but to really understand who is this personality of Godhead Krishna, it is not possible just by dry logic, just by, you know, by process of just meditating on the Supreme Lord. It is not possible. You know, in the scriptures and in various anecdotes, so many examples are given to demonstrate this, that just by mundane scholarship or by even ritualistically following certain, you know, processes, it's not as if you can just immediately capture the heart of Krishna. He's very difficult to capture, very difficult. He's like that, Krishna is like that. You know, there is a story given of a person, you know, there was one Brahmana who was, you know, following certain, you know, very processes very strictly in his home. And there was another person who was an ordinary, you know, I think cobbler or whatever, very ordinary person, not really of a very high caste or something. And both of them were, to some extent, devotees of Lord Vishnu. And once Narada was sent by Vishnu, Narada was sent by Vishnu to test these two devotees. So when Narada came, Lord Vishnu had asked, you know, Lord Vishnu had asked Narada to ask them a particular question, you know. So naturally Narada came with the impression that this, Brahmana must be a better devotee. Naturally we tend to classify, you know, someone who is a little higher class, see that this person must be a better devotee. So Lord Narayan told Narada that when you go down, you ask them this question. They will ask you that, how is Lord Narayan? What is he doing? So you just tell them that Lord Narayan was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Like we thread a thread through an eye of a needle, that Lord Vishnu was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So Narada was a little confused. He said, okay, I'll do it. He went down. And when he went and met the Brahmana first. And he said, the moment the Brahmana saw him, oh, Narad Rishi, I'm so fortunate you came to my house. He paid obeisances. And he asked him, so you are always having the darshan of Lord Hari. So what was Lord Hari doing when you met him? So Narad very matter-of-factly said, oh, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Brahma said, what? What nonsense? You think I'm a fool or something? Are you trying to test me? What nonsense is this? How can anything be threaded? How can an elephant be threaded through the eye of a needle? You must have not seen Lord Hari at all. You're just joking. So he said that and he went away. Narad Muni was a little bewildered, but then he went and met with that other common person. And the moment he saw Narad Muni, he immediately paid obeisances. He said, oh, Narad Muni, I'm so fortunate that you came to the house of this fallen person. I'm so fortunate. I'm very grateful. And he said, oh, Narada, you, same thing. He said, you know, you must have just taken the darshan of Lord Hari. So please tell me, what was Lord Hari doing? Then when Narada said, you know, that, oh, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Oh, so wonderful. This person immediately reacted, so wonderful. Lord Hari can do anything. And then he started discussing something else. So Narada was a little confused. You know, how come that person didn't accept this person accepting so easily? He said, hold on a minute. Do you believe what I said? Of course. Why not? What is so difficult for this? He said, but do you believe that Lord Hari was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle? You are able to believe? He said, us? Of course, certainly I can believe. So how can you believe? He said, see, Lord Vishnu is so great, he's so wonderful. If you've seen a banyan tree is a huge entity. It can sometimes, you know, sometimes old banyan trees spread out over a few hundred meters, you know. But they keep growing, more and more branches go into other trees and they keep growing. So, but the seed of a banyan tree is only this much, very small, you know. So he's saying that in such a small banyan seed, in such a small seed, if he is able to put such a huge tree is stored in this, it is there, it is just not manifested, it just has to manifest. So this huge banyan tree, if he is able to store inside such a small seed, and then that seed will give rise to a banyan tree, which will give rise to another millions of seeds, which can give rise to some more million banyan trees. So what is so difficult about this? Krishna can do all these kind of wonderful feats, then what is so difficult about this? So the point is that if you are simple at heart and you are just believing in Krishna, you are really surrendering to Krishna, then it is very easy to understand Krishna. Not difficult. But if we are too analytical, or if we are too much, you know, trying to rely on our own intelligence and our logic, it's impossible to get Krishna. And just by mundane scholarship, by, you know, memorizing the scriptures, or by learning, you know, verses by heart, or by, you know, by that it's not necessary that you will, you know, immediately understand. By reading all the scriptures, by even reading Bhagavad Gita sometimes, it's not necessary that you will immediately understand Krishna. No. We have all read, but we have not understood Krishna. Right? So, even Lord Chaitanya, he also demonstrated this behavior. Even though when he was the Supreme Person of Godhead himself, but when he came, he also demonstrated similar behavior. That it's not as if by mundane scholarship you will immediately understand Krishna. As Nimai Pandit, you know, he was the foremost scholar in Navadvip. Navadvip was seen as a center of learning in those days, 500 years back. And he was the foremost scholar in all of Navadvip. But in spite of knowing all the scriptures, in spite of having written commentaries and, you know, taught so many students, still he never demonstrated that he knows Krishna. He never demonstrated any symptoms of love of Krishna at all. It was only after he met a spiritual master, Ishwar Puri, in Gaya, after that he started manifesting these symptoms of pure love of Krishna. So it was only when he received the mercy of a devotee, then he surrendered to Krishna, then he received love of Krishna. It wasn't as if, you know, it was... So he also demonstrated that the nature of a devotee, the correct behavior of a devotee is that he doesn't try to just, you know, artificially understand Krishna. The process is to surrender to Krishna and then we can understand him. Another important aspect Srila Prabhupada is saying in this purport, that the Supreme Truth is realized, the Absolute Truth is realized in three aspects. One is Brahmeti Paramatmiti Bhagwaniti Shabdite. So the, as the impersonal Brahman, as the localized Paramatma which is residing in everyone's heart, and finally as the Supreme Personality of God and Krishna. So the Supreme Personality of God, is saying that the final understanding of the Supreme Truth or the Absolute Truth is that he is a person. Now, you cannot understand a person simply by reading a book about him. You know, if you just, you know, take a book and you read about a person, how much can be written about that person? Very, I mean, even if you write an autobiography, you know, people write autobiographies or biographies are written about people, but still, only some aspect is captured, isn't it? Even if you look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, you know, there was this Leelamrit, which was written by Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj. Now, after Leelamrit, that was there for many years. Now, every few months, one of his disciples is coming out with the newer and newer, you know, aspects of Srila Prabhupada, and still very little is covered. So Srila Prabhupada is a devotee. But you imagine Krishna. Just by reading a book, you cannot understand Krishna. Impossible. Very little. So if you feel that just by reading this Bhagavad Gita, I will know everything about Krishna. You will know a lot. You will understand a lot. But just by reading scriptures, by reading Vedas, or by reading the Upanishads, or by even memorizing them, you will not get Krishna. Similarly, just by, by just meditating on the person, meditating, by thinking, you know little bit about the person, and then you just meditate on that person. However long you meditate, how much will you come to know about that person? Unless that person himself reveals something in your heart. You know, as Krishna revealed within the heart of Lord Brahma, Tene Brahma Hridayate Adhikave. So it was Krishna who imparted that knowledge within the heart of Brahma, because Brahma was meditating on him. But that again shows that it is the person who is giving the realization about himself. just by meditating on the person, you cannot. Even in the mundane sense, if you look at it, by reading books or by just thinking about a person, what do you know? Nothing. Very little. What is the correct way to know the person? The best way is to personally serve that person. If you are able to serve that person and surrender it to him, then, and see here as Prabhupada is making a point in this purport, you hear about him from himself, not from others. Of course, from others, through his devotees, if you are hearing in a parampara, then it is all right. But the best way is you hear about Krishna from himself. What does he say about himself? Then you get a clear picture. By hearing from here, there, everywhere, we will not get a clear picture. You know, there is a story about a person wrote a book about Shah Jahan. You know, Shah Jahan was, you know, we just read something about Akbar. He was one of the descendants of Akbar, the grandson of Akbar, son or grandson. So Shah Jahan, he had a son called Aurangzeb. So this person, he wrote a book titled Shah Jahan. The title of the book was Shah Jahan. But if you read the book, you read the book, full book, cover to cover, somebody read the book cover to cover, and the entire book was talking about the atrocities done by Aurangzeb. Entire book was talking about how Aurangzeb, he troubled his father, how Aurangzeb finally captured his father and imprisoned him. And throughout in the prison also, the Shah Jahan was suffering and seeing what atrocities Aurangzeb was doing. And finally he leaves his body, he dies, and that's the end of it. So this person who read the book was a little puzzled. He said, the book is very well written, but why is it titled Shah Jahan? I mean, it should be titled Aurangzeb. So everything is about Aurangzeb only. You know, the whole book talks about Aurangzeb. So why would title it Shah Jahan? So the author explained to him, yes, it may talk about Aurangzeb, but through this book, I am trying to show what was the suffering that Shah Jahan went through. After creating such a magnificent empire, how his son destroyed it, destroyed the very essence of what he had created, and what suffering this person went through because of this. I wanted to bring that out. That is why I titled the book Shah Jahan. It is about Shah Jahan's suffering, it is not about Aurangzeb's atrocities. So by talking to the author of the book, you are able to understand the correct essence of what that author wants to say. So when we read the Bhagavad Gita also, we are hearing from Krishna himself. Rather than trying to find knowledge from, you know, here, there, we should read the Bhagavad Gita to understand what is Krishna saying as about himself, the Bhagavad Gita as it is. From that we get a clear picture. And if you see, there are so many personal aspects to Krishna. If you see, Arjuna in one verse is saying so many things about Krishna. You know, Prabhupada is saying that even if you understand Krishna, even if you understand him as Supreme Person, you know, as Purushottama, still you may not know that he is Bhuta Bhavana. What is Bhuta Bhavana? He is father of all living entities. Even if you know him as Bhuta Bhavana, you may not know him as Supreme Controller, Bhuteshan. Even if you know that, you may not know that he is Deva Deva, that means the God of the demigod. Even if you know that, you may not know his Supreme Proprietor. What is the point Prabhupada is making here? Even if you know everything, still you don't know anything about Krishna. Very little you really know. Because this person is like that. He is the Supreme Personality. Just imagine, you know, when you are married, before you are married, sometimes there is a courtship, and then you get married. And marriage is happening, at that point everyone is very blissful, everything look forward to. And then once they come and stay below the same roof, then the reality dawns, Oh, acha. Because everyone is on the best behavior, before marriage everyone is on the best behavior. Moment the marriage is over, then they let their guard down. And then really the personality starts coming out, You start understanding. But even after being married for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you still sometimes don't know about certain deep down aspects of this person. What is really the core of his being? Don't understand. So if about individual whom you are staying with for 30 years, you really don't know, well, what to speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You know, very little we can really understand. So the point Srila Prabhupada is making is, just ordinarily trying to understand Krishna is not possible. So the only way that we can really understand Krishna is through the process of devotional service. Another point, interesting point over here is, sometimes people try to understand God through His energies. What is the meaning of this? It means that, you know, if I, for example, this building, if we take this building as an example, now I can just divide this building into many aspects. There are these columns, there is this floor, there is a ceiling, there are chandeliers, there are fans, there are DTs, there are, you know, carpets. So many aspects are there which is going into making this building. So even if I really want to understand this building, what do I have to do? I have to sum up everything, take all the ingredients together, and there it is, I have understood the building. Right? I have a complete picture. This is what the architect does. Of course, he does it the other way around. He makes the building and then breaks it down into aspects. But if we try to understand, this is how we'll do. We'll sum up all the aspects of the building, take it together and say, this is the understanding of the building. This is what it consists of. But as far as Krishna is concerned, cannot. It's not possible to do that. If you just take the sum of the energies of Krishna, there's so many energies. Krishna has so many energies. He's got the internal energy, external energy is divided into so many aspects. So if you just sum up all these energies, still you cannot understand Krishna. It's not possible. You know, scientists have been trying to do this. You know, the scientists, for example, they study so many aspects. They study physics. What is physics? Physics is the study of how material behaves. They study chemistry. They study biology. They study zoology. They study medicine. So many fields of study. But even if you bring all these fields together, first of all, it's impossible for one person to know all this. Correct? So really to understand what is that particular energy also requires a lifetime. And there also you understand one small aspect. You know, if you do a PhD, you understand a very small aspect of a very large field. Right? So to understand the material energy itself is impossible. For the tiny, minuscule human brain, it's impossible. But what to speak of bringing all those energies together, understanding them, and then trying to extrapolate something. This is what God must be. Impossible. So Krishna makes the, you know, in this, just the previous verse, he is giving the hint, and we were reading just now. And he says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enama upayantite. Those who are constantly devoted to me, to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Then next verse says, Tesham evanukampartam aham ajnanabjam tamaha dashyami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bhashvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroyed the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. This is the way. Krishna is giving the clue that how to understand Him. He doesn't say that please read XYZ Upanishads. He doesn't say read XYZ Puranas. He's not saying that. He's saying those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Incidentally, it's very interesting. You know, the reverse process is there in 10.8. He's saying, Iti matva bhajante maam bhuda bhava samanvita. He says, the wise who perceives the source of all material and spiritual world, everything emanates from me, and the wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their heart. That means someone who knows that Krishna is source of everything. One who knows, one who has this knowledge that Krishna is the source of everything, he immediately surrenders to Krishna. Then after that, the next process, after surrendering, what? Engage in devotional service. Then Krishna, with the shining lamp of knowledge, this darkness that is there in our heart, he removes it. It's a process. If you see, first with the faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you surrender. Then you engage in the process of devotional service. Then Krishna gives the knowledge from within. The knowledge is actually there. It is all stored within. But by the process of devotional service, it is revealed. As Lord Chaitanya gave this verse, he said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Shravan Adi Shuddha Chitte Koroye Udoye. That Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, this Krishna Prem, love for the Lord, this propensity to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nitya Siddha, it is eternally there in our hearts. Sadhya Kabunai, it is not something which you can obtain, not something that you can just grab from somewhere, that I pay this money and I grab this and Krishna is mine. No. It is not sadhya. Sadhya Kabunai, never. Shravan Adi, Shravan means hearing, Adi is etc. So the important process is Shravan, by hearing. Shravan Adi, Shuddha Chitte. Our heart is purified by the process of hearing. Shravan Adi, Shuddha Chitte, Koroye Udoy. Udoy means, like we say, Surya Udoy, or the sun rises. Same way, like the sun rises, that, you know, that it arises, that love for Krishna arises from within the heart. It just spurts out. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. By, rather than trying to, you know, just gain knowledge about Krishna, better that you just surrender to Krishna. Anyway, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, another place, he says about those who are jnanis, who are trying to, you know, gather knowledge by reading scriptures, you know, and trying to analyze the material world and see what it is. He anyway says, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapatyate vasudevam sarvamiti sa mahatma sukundlava. He says, after going through many, many births, Bahunam janmanam ante, Bahunam means many, Janmanam ante, after the end of many, many births, you know, Bahunam janmanam ante, Jnanavan maam prapatyate. After many, many births, the one who is in knowledge surrenders unto me. And he realizes what? Vasudeva sarvamiti. After going through all this effort and endeavor of trying to understand scripture, analyzing material, spiritual, this, that, all this effort, end of it, what happens? Same conclusion, Vasudevam Sarvamiti. Like, you know, my God, but was it really worth it, you know, going through all this? Anyway, if the conclusion is Vasudevam Sarvamiti, then why go through the effort of trying to, you know, gather so much knowledge? Simply surrender right now. Why? After Bahunam Janmanam Ante. Right now you can surrender. The opportunity is there before you. Why do you have to wait for so many births? It is there right now. So, Krishna is giving that knowledge, that by surrendering unto him, we can get that knowledge. And devotees are easily, if you see the difference, you know, that devotees, how Arjuna is so easily glorifying Krishna, giving so many aspects of Krishna, you know, Bhutesha, Deva Deva, Purushottama, etc. So many, easily he is just glorifying the Supreme Person. Why? Because devotees accept Krishna. They are easily able to understand him. And they are able to understand that his energies control everything. You know, see, like we were discussing how the scientists try to understand the energies in order to understand the energetic. Who is the energetic? The controller of all these energies. So by understanding the energies, it's difficult to understand the energetic. But the devotees focus the energy on the energetic, on the person who is the controller of all these energies. Then it is very easy to understand the other energies that are below. And you know, one of the energies is spoken about supreme controller, that Krishna, how he is the supreme controller of all, everything. You know, the Greek people, you know, in the olden times, they had a conception of who is God, and they show this person as Atlas. And Atlas is a person very old, they show him as a very old man, you know, who is somehow struggling, Srila Prabhupada says, somehow struggling to hold the earth. Great effort, he's somehow holding it up. So this is not God. This is not God, because he's struggling. God means he is simply enjoying. Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna in Golok Vrindavan is simply enjoying, he is playing his flute and enjoying. And through his energies, he is aloof. He is not really even participating. Through his energies, everything is being controlled. If you really just meditate on this one fact, then we can understand very easily that Krishna, he is so powerful, he is so wonderful, that through his energies, everything is controlled perfectly. If you really look at the phenomena in the material world, it is very easy to accept Krishna. It's not difficult. If you really look at something like rain, you know, the scientists also analyze what is this process of rain. They say, oh, first from the, you know, from the sea, the water is evaporated, then it forms water vapor, then that water vapor condenses and becomes rain and comes back. And then again it forms, you know, rivers and goes into the sea again. This is the process as the scientists explain it. But if you really try to analyze what kind of a miracle this rain is. Every day, in Singapore you see rain almost every second day. But if you really think, stop to analyze what kind of a miracle this rain is. It's a miracle. You know, 3 years back, 2 years back in Bombay, three, actually 2.5 years back, in Bombay on 26 July, there was a deluge. Deluge, you know. There was some 937 millimeters of rain in less than 6 hours. I remember I had waded through water which was still here to reach my home. You know, it was a really, really difficult situation. Horrible rain. Just pouring. It was like, you know, almost like destruction. It was like prelay. It was that bad. And, you know, His Holiness Radha Maharaj was making this point, a very nice point. He's saying that what kind of a miracle this rain is. The amount of water that fell from the skies in those few hours, all the billions of tons of water, it is billions of tons of water. You can imagine how much water is falling in that one cloudburst. All that water is stored in the sky. Thousands of feet above sea level, that water is stored in a cloud. It is just suspended in mid-air. Those billions of tons of water are suspended in mid-air. And at a particular moment, in a particular location, bang, it just explodes and all that water comes down. And that same cloud, if an aeroplane is flying in the sky, the aeroplane goes through it. Miraculous. Just imagine. If so much water is there, how the, I mean, at least when the aeroplane goes through, it should burst, right? I mean, come on. It's like a balloon or something like that. If the aeroplane goes through, it should just burst. Doesn't happen. The aeroplane goes through it. It may feel little turbulence, but it goes through. And then at one spot, just imagine that one cloud decides, it's decided by Indradev that go to, you know, north part of Bombay and pour 933 millimeters of rain. On that same day, south Bombay, okay, there's not such a big distance, it's only about, Bombay is about 50 kilometers long. 50 kilometers, so about 30 kilometers of Bombay, you know, from north to down, 30 kilometers of Bombay received 930 millimeters of rain. And the remaining 20 kilometers received how much? 120 millimeters. On the same day. So, I mean, if you really analyze, try to analyze, it's very specific. The cloud is instructed this area, go and create destruction. It's amazing. So, this is a miracle. It is nothing short of a miracle. A cloud, an ordinary cloud, is a miracle. So much water being suspended, billions of tons being suspended at the right time, it just comes and showers water. Another wonderful miracle is what? Of course, there are many. I'll just take one quickly. The process of hearing. Now, you know, for example, if I were to just ask somebody a question, what is the capital of Malaysia? KL. How much was the time gap? Less than 1 second. I asked the question, in less than 1 second he replied KL. Correct answer. Now if you try to analyze what happened in this 1 second, it's crazy. It's crazy. Why? First, I spoke. What is this process of speaking? Incidentally, I thought of a question. My brain instructed my tongue to vibrate in a particular way. my tongue vibrated in a particular way, my throat cords, you know, moved in a particular manner, and the voice came out. After the voice came out, it went through this, came out, like this, went into the speaker. From the speaker, he heard the question. And what is the hearing of the question? That is a very, very complex for those who are, you know, ENT specialists. It's an amazing thing, what is this process of hearing? Unfortunately, I am not able to describe it too well. But it goes into the ear. After going inside the ear, there is a particular membrane which receives the vibration. It comes as a vibration. You know, it comes as a vibration, a sound vibration. It enters the ear. And that membrane starts vibrating in a particular manner. Depending on what frequency the sound is hitting, it starts vibrating. Based on that vibration, behind that membrane, there is a fluid called synovial fluid or something like that. That fluid starts vibrating. It receives a vibration from the membrane and it starts vibrating. It goes to a particular point inside, little deeper inside the ear, and it converts that, I think, that vibration into some electrical impulse. That electrical impulse then goes to the brain. In the brain then analyzes the question. What is the question? Question is, what is the capital of Malaysia? What is Malaysia? Malaysia is a country. It goes into the country file. For those of you who understand computer, it goes into the folder called countries. Countries, countries, Malaysia, Singapore, India, China, Malaysia, okay, Malaysia. What is the capital of Malaysia? Capital, okay, capital. Malaysia, 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 Malaysia. What are the various cities? Penang, Evo. And finally, it said, KL. KL is the capital of Malaysia. And then it retrieves and sends back the intelligence to the tongue. That now please vibrate the answer, KL. And then same process which we described. The tongue then vibrates from the, you know, from the throat, the thing vibrates and the sound comes out, KL. And I then heard the answer and I accept the answer as correct. And then I announce to everybody, yes, that's the correct answer. All this happened in 1 second. Just look at the engineering that has gone into this simple process of Shravanam, hearing. Unbelievable. So if somebody tries to analyze, what is this process of hearing? And from this let me try to understand Krishna. All you can understand from this is that Krishna must be something very wonderful. He's got this kind of intelligence to really engineer this. He must be something really, really wonderful. He's not some ordinary, and he cannot be ordinary. He's something extraordinary. So from this we can understand. And finally, I'd like to end with one different point. That even if we receive, you know, as devotees who are hearing every Sunday, every Saturday and Sunday, we are hearing various lectures, and we are receiving so much philosophical knowledge about Krishna from Krishna's devotees in parampara. So we have arrived, right? I mean, come on. As devotees, we know everything. We know Krishna, we know everything. You know Krishna in everything, no problem, right? Wrong. Wrong. Even that assumption is not correct. We were discussing today morning, you know, with the devotees, that just knowing philosophical knowledge is not enough. What is required? Fine, you know, all these philosophical truths just gives us knowledge which goes to our intelligence, goes and gets stored somewhere over here. But what we really need is realization. Sakshatkar, as they say. You know, realization. So what is this realization? You know, everyone, sometimes we say, Prabhu, I have realized. I have got this realization. We say, what really is this realization? You know, last week, one devotee in Radha Gopinath temple, he was giving a very wonderful definition. The first time, you know, we heard this definition of what is realization. Now, what is the difference between knowledge and realization? He says, realization means accepting what is reality as reality. Realization means accepting what is reality as reality. Actually accepting. See, we know reality. I am not this body, I am the soul. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the servant of Krishna. My duty is to serve Krishna. This is knowledge. But realization means accepting it. You know all this. You know this is reality, but actually accepting it, when you actually accept it from the bottom of your heart, you're fully convinced, then it is realization. Till then, it is knowledge. It is not realization. You know, sometimes, Srila Prabhupada says, for example, that 1 ounce of realization, 1 ounce, small quantity of realization is worth more than a ton, several tons of knowledge. You may get so much knowledge, koi fayda nahi. If you get a small realization of that knowledge, that will help you to actually progress. In spiritual life, when we are following the path of sadhana bhakti, when we are, you know, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are reading from scriptures, we are hearing regularly, we are, you know, following regulative principles and so on and so forth. But actual progress comes when we have realizations, when we start getting these realizations. You know, and in the long run, it is this realization only which will help us to actually progress. You know, to tangibly progress in the process of Krishna consciousness, we need that realization. And he was giving the example that it is not the food which nourishes us. When we eat food, if that was the criterion, that eating, the activity of eating food nourishes us, if that was the criterion, then someone who eats lots of food will be very healthy. And someone who doesn't eat much food will be very unhealthy. But that's not the fact, right? We see often that those who are eating a lot of food are very unhealthy. And those who eat very little are, you know, khatta khatta, you know, strong. Why? Because it is not the process of eating food which is nourishing you. It is the digestion which is nourishing you. What you have eaten, how well your body is able to digest that. That is what will really give you that nourishment. So in the same way, what knowledge we are receiving by hearing, by reading, that will not help us to progress. It will help us to at least get conviction in the process, but that will not give us that progress. How much we are able to absorb in our life, how much we are able to digest, that is what will give us realization. It's a very nice point. And then Krishna cannot be, you know, realized. Before that, one small, you know, example. Like for example, we say, you know, sometimes when we are discussing, we say that, oh Prabhu, he is white body, he has a white body, or he has a, you know, Indian body. We say like that, you know, in devotee conversation sometimes this discussion happens. But actually, do we have the realization? We don't. Heart of heart, it's not there. We are saying it, but we don't have that realization. Why? Because we still believe, I am this body. Others it's okay, but I am this body. We still have that very strong conviction in the bottom of our heart, somewhere we are still not willing to accept that I am the soul, I am not this body. That realization hasn't dawned upon us. But if you see a pure devotee, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you were discussing an example of Srila Prabhupada, how once Srila Prabhupada was discussing with his disciples, he was giving a lecture. At the end of the lecture he said, oh, you people don't understand what I am saying, because I have a Bengali body. And he said very casually, he said, because you can't understand my accent because I have a Bengali body. So he's saying that when it comes from the mouth of a pure devotee, then it is far more impact, it makes an impact. Why? Because this person is saying, I have a Bengali body. He's saying it very casually, but he's saying it with realization. He actually realizes that I am not this body, but I have been given the body of a Bengali, what to do? What to do? I have this body, so I have to serve you with whatever I have. That is realization. And Krishna cannot be realized as he is by simply memorizing scriptures. Our realization can come by only humbly serving him. When we humbly serve Krishna, serve his devotees, we serve his instructions, then he, Krishna personally reveals himself. He gives us that realization. You know, as we were discussing, it comes from within. By Shravanadi we are hearing, and when we sincerely serve Krishna, we follow the principles, we follow the process, very sincerely we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day, and every day we serve the devotees very nicely. Sincerely we follow, then Krishna gives that, you know, he says, he destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance, and he gives the understanding by which they can come to me. He gives us that realization. Another important point of discussion over here, it is the guru's, you know, the guru's duty. The guru gives us knowledge. He has realization, but he can give us knowledge. He gives us knowledge, he tells us what his realizations are. But it is the duty of the disciple to absorb what the guru is giving us. He is giving us knowledge. It is our duty to absorb as much as possible of that and apply it in our life. And then when we practice what he has told us, then we get realization. Otherwise, not possible. And I'd like to end with this. It'll take 5 minutes, but it's a nice point as to why is it that as devotees, we are all apparently for last 10, 12, 15, 20 years, we have been following this process of Krishna consciousness. We've been chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We have been following some regulative principles. We are reading the scriptures. We are attending programs. We are eating prasad. Still no realization or very little realization. Why? So he was saying the point, this is because of inattentive sadhana. Whatever sadhana we are doing, but we are not attentive. We are not doing it attentively. We are not putting our heart and soul into it. And you are saying, what are the 4 R's? In the morning we were discussing this, I'll just repeat that, so it was nice. 4 R's of inattentive sadhana. 4 R's. So the first R is reduce. R for reduce. First thing that happens to us as practicing bhaktas is, over a period of time, we reduce our sadhana. Now, reduction need not mean you are chanting 16 rounds earlier, so now you start chanting 12. No. You may still be chanting 16 rounds. You may still be maintaining 4 regulative principles only, not 3. But the standard goes down. The standard, slowly but surely, not, it may not be overnight, slowly but surely the standard goes down, 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 down. We stop chanting, you know, with attention. We come for programs, but you know, we are spaced out, you know, mind is here, there, everywhere. Slowly but surely, influence of Kali, influence of material nature, our sadhana comes down, reduces. The second stage, second R is reasoning. You have already reduced your sadhana, you start reasoning with people, you start justifying. Oh, it's all right. Prabhu, I am still chanting 16 rounds. Don't you see? Every day I am chanting. I come for all the programs. Don't you see? Everything is perfectly all right. You start justifying to others. And even worse, you start justifying to yourself. Oh, it's all right. It's acceptable. You should not be a fanatic. Don't do so much. Take it easy. Chant. Chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But not necessary you have to chant in Brahma Muhurta. Only these fanatics do this. It's okay to chant little later in the day. We start justifying to ourselves. This is the second stage, reasoning. The third stage of inattentive sadhana is ritual. After doing this for some time, you know, reduction of standard sadhana and reasoning, after some time what happens? Our sadhana becomes a ritual. Day in and day out, what to do? I have taken a vow, so I have to chant 16 rounds every day. Chalo Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Just somehow, you know, going through the motions, as they say. Just going through the motions, completing our rounds every day. Just the focus is on, not on chanting the holy names of the Lord to please Him. The focus is on completing the rounds. The moment that consciousness comes, I have to finish my rounds. Means, already you are doing a ritual. We already reached that stage. Hari Bol, you know, in trouble already. So it's a ritual. It becomes like a ritual which you are just following day in and day out. And then the fourth stage, which is the worst stage. Restlessness. We start becoming restless. When we are performing devotional service, we become restless. What happens? When you are chanting Hare Krishna, newspaper arrives. Keep the beat, read the newspaper. Or even worse, while chanting Hare Krishna, read the newspaper. Watch TV. All this nonsense starts. When you are performing, in the process of performing devotional service, the mind becomes restless. So this is the worst stage. And another symptom of this restless mind, restless sadhana, is when you are in the association of devotees, you are uncomfortable, you are restless. You are looking here and there, you are looking at the first opportunity to go out, take a phone call, you know, look at your mobile phone, some SMSs come, let me see, this is more interesting than the lecture, you know. You start doing that, mentally you start looking at, this is all signs of restlessness. So, the only way that we can, you know, so the four stages once more, the first one was reduce, the second one is reasoning, third is ritual, and the fourth is restless. So, when I heard this for the first time, I felt it was like an autobiography. He's talking about me! He's talking about me! This is my state! I'm restless today! So, it is a fact. Many of us, we have been in Krishna consciousness for years together, donkey's years as they say. But because we are not chanting our rounds attentively, we are not doing our sadhana nicely, therefore over a period of time this starts happening to us. Reduce, reasoning, ritual and restless. So the only way that you can break out of this cycle is just pray to the Supreme Lord. Just do a dandavat and pray to the Supreme Lord that please help me to get out of this cycle of, you know, the 4 hours. I don't want the 4 hours. You know, we were just joking that at the end of it, if by fourth hour also you have not corrected yourself, and you don't listen to people correcting you, then the fifth R comes. This is my addition, it's a speculation. Then it becomes R for remembrance. Then the devotees will only remember, oh, once upon a time he was a devotee. By that time it's all gone, you know, it's all over. So let us not come to that stage. We should just, whenever we see that this is happening to us, we should fully engage, just once more, you know, re-engage in the process of Krishna consciousness and just pray to the Supreme Lord. Follow the instructions sincerely. Automatically, realization will come. It is a matter of time. That's it. As the purification happens, as we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, sincerely if we follow it, sincerely follow the process, it has to happen. It will happen. But we have to make that conscious effort at all points in our life. And then we are able to get that realization. And by that realization, we are able to progress. Finally go back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Fundamental point, and this question was asked after that lecture also. See, it's like this. Ideally, Srila Prabhupada, you know, if you see Srila Prabhupada's disciples, when the ISKCON movement was a fledgling movement, when it was just started, after 6 months of the movement, 6 months or 1 year of the movement, three disciple couples, they went to UK on their own and they were preaching the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Without Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't there, but they were disciples, they were just preaching, you know. So Srila, how is it possible? I mean, one way of understanding it is that if you really surrender to the instructions of Guru, he empowers us to speak. He actually does. It's not imagination. When we pray, when we do these prayers, you know, when we sing this Mangalacharan before starting a lecture, actually the consciousness of the speaker should be, though it's not speaking for myself, I know it's more of a ritual again, which you're going through of saying that prayer. But our consciousness should be that, O Gurudev, O Vaishnava, Vaishnava acharyas, please empower me to speak to these devotees and say something which will inspire them. And should be our consciousness. If we have that consciousness, Guru empowers. He actually empowers. Second thing is that generally Srila Prabhupada used to say that just repeat what you have heard. Don't try to speculate and come up with new things. Repeat what you have heard and speak to the extent of your realization. So if you have a particular realization, speak to that extent. If you are in third grade, third standard, don't try to speak on topics which are 12th standard and above. If you are being asked to speak on it, then pray to your Guru, pray to the Lord and then speak. And say that I don't have a realization but I am speaking because I have been ordered to speak, so I am speaking. So then you are just repeating the words of the acharyas. If you just repeat the words of the acharyas in the right spirit, in the correct spirit, correct consciousness, that I am only a postman who is delivering these words from the acharyas to you, that's it. If we have that consciousness, then it is perfectly alright. It will still transform. Srila Prabhupada, he used to say that I am the postal peon of my Guru. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee, but he also had this consciousness that I am merely the postal peon who is just taking the letter and delivering it. Thus, I am not trying to do any extra thing. I am just repeating the words of my spiritual master. If you are doing that, and doing it, just repeating the words, then it is alright. Even if you don't have realization, by repeating the words of the spiritual master also, realization will come. Sometimes you have seen, for example, I don't know how I can give the example, but if you take, the example of a person who is preaching, you are preaching to somebody, sometimes you preach to that person, you say something very ordinary, something very normal, something very insignificant you say. But that person hearing that one statement, immediately, it's like a spark in his heart, and immediately a big bonfire emerges from his heart. And immediately he becomes a fired up devotee and he goes miles ahead of you. Wondering what happened. I just said something very normal and this person was inspired. You don't know. We are just the instrument. Like Krishna tells Arjuna, you just be the instrument in my hand. You be the instrument and get the glory. So we are just like instruments. The instrument doesn't try to, when the scalpel is in the surgeon's hand, scalpel doesn't try to use its own intelligence. He's cutting in this angle, but I think this angle will be better. Let me go this angle. No. Scalpel is just like butter in the hands of the surgeon. The way he molds it, it molds. Right? So we should be like that scalpel. In the expert hands of Guru, Guru is using us to perform certain tasks. If we just follow his instructions, everything is perfect. Even if we don't have full realization of the point we are making, we can still repeat it because Guru has said, we have heard it from senior devotees, we can repeat the point, it will have its potency. But for full potency, you are right. We need to have some realization for us to give the full potency of that point. Does that answer your question? Any other question?
Particular aspect.
activity that we are doing, since the mind is not absorbed in that activity, it tries to reduce that activity, it tries to reason it out, and it tries to make it ritual, and at the end it becomes restless in doing that. So ultimately the cause of all that is the absorption of mind into something other than that activity. And if the mind is in the activity in which it is actually absorbed, then all the other four are so the point is that don't get actual absorption in the process, because absorption also depends on the activity our senses are doing in one way. Since our the entire day our senses are doing activities which are not conducive to Krishna consciousness, our minds get absorbed in those activities. So when we put try to make our mind absorbed in the activity of Krishna consciousness, it
gets distracted. Everyone understood the question? Okay. Right. Basically, first he made a comment that how Hiranyakashipu, you know, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, when Hiranyaksha was killed, at that time he preached to the wives of Hiranyaksha exact Bhagavad Gita. Exact, same. You are not this body, you are the soul. Soul is eternal. So even if he has died, so what? You know, he's received new body, everything. Proper Bhagavad Gita philosophy. You just have to remove the Hiranyakashipu uvacha, and it could be Krishna, Shri Bhagavan uvacha. So same philosophy. But then promptly after convincing them and consoling them, next thing he does is he goes to, you know, this mountain and he performs austerities for getting an eternal body. Very next thing. This is a proof, absolute proof, that what he had is just knowledge, no realization. If he had realization, he wouldn't do the very next activity for something which is exactly contrary to what he has been saying. This is a proof that without realization, no use. All that knowledge is worth nothing. If you are not realizing even an ounce, as the Prabhupada said, that 1 ounce of realization is worth more than tons of knowledge. And so to come to your point, that absorption, he was asking that that the mind is not absorbing itself in something because it is not really liking it so much, and therefore it becomes inattentive, and over a period of time, you know, all these 4 hours happen. The point is that our mind is actually very nasty. It's a very nasty thing. Mind, if it is not controlled, uncontrolled mind is the worst enemy, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. This is your worst enemy. The mind is forever making propositions to us. You know, we were discussing today morning about this point, a quote by devotee is saying that, I have it. It says that, in Krishna consciousness, nothing happens automatically, even at death. Nothing happens automatically in Krishna consciousness. Even 1 second before death, Krishna is whispering in one ear, and Maya or illusion or our mind, you know, is whispering in the other. Life means whose whisper do we hear? Very significant thing that throughout your life, even as devotees, constantly we will be hearing from one ear, please surrender, please surrender, please surrender, follow the path, don't deviate, be sincere, and you will go back to Godhead. And in the other ear, Maya is telling us to surrender but later, surrender not now, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year 2009, make a resolution on 31st December and follow 100%. But not now. Now is, take it easy. You have been doing for so many years. Now is the time to relax. Mind is always making these kind of propositions. Always. So life, our life as devotees, is about choices. At all points of time, we have a choice. Whose whisper do we want to listen to? if we have been listening to the whisper of Krishna and his devotees more often than we have been hearing the whisper of Maya which is telling us to enjoy, then at the time of death, even if we are not perfect, still, because we have been sincerely following the whisper of Krishna, at the time of death, that whisper will be much louder. You will not be able to hear anything else. Only you will be able to hear the chanting of the holy name. That's it. So if we are sincere, the bottom line of this is that we have to be sincere. Krishna consciousness is all about sincerity. Being honest. If you are not following, be honest and do something to correct it. That is the only way. Because the moment we are not honest, that means we are justifying. We start justifying. It's okay. It's alright. Then that cycle starts. Becomes a ritual and becomes restless. So be honest. The moment we see that there is some deviation, moment we see or some devotee kindly points out to us, Prabhu, kidhar ho? Where are you? Don't see you for programs nowadays? What's happening? You know? Moment somebody points out, immediately take corrective action. Immediately. Be sincere. Understand, even if that person is junior to you, so called, in Krishna consciousness, this person is junior to you and he points out to you. You should not say, oh, you know, I don't want to listen to you. You take it that Krishna is instructing you through this person. And sincerely try to correct. We will never like it. We will never come to a stage, at least in this lifetime, where we, our mind finds attraction in the holy name. Unless we have gone through the process of adho shraddha, tatha sadhu sangha, tatha bhajan kriyas, tatha anartha nivritti, shad nishta, nishta tatha, then there is ruchi. After four stages of following the process, then we get ruchi, the taste. Today where are we? Sadhu sangha bhajan kriyas. That only is going on for a long time. We have not even reached anartha nivritti. So, expecting that we will get taste for holy name is not going to happen. We have to just convince our mind, this is medicine, I have to take it, that's it. Sincerely follow the process, and automatically over a period of time, Krishna will reveal himself from within the heart. He will reveal, he will give you that taste. But at this stage in our devotional service, we don't have the taste. We have to just follow the instructions. Those who are simple at heart are able to follow. If you see, those are very educated, you know. If we are very educated, it's very difficult to accept anything. Forget about spiritual knowledge. Anything, if you know, you go to a very educated person, you're telling about anything, he has an opinion on everything. Right? Somebody who is very educated, he thinks I'm so intelligent, I can speak, I'm qualified to speak on anything. But if you go to a simple man, you know, and you tell him that when the signal is red, don't cross, he will not cross. I have been told don't cross, I will not cross. But if you go to a very highly intelligent man, tell him the signal is red, don't cross. He said, why? There are no cars coming. Why? I don't expect. Because too much, you know, conditioning is there. We think we are too great. Therefore, we think we know better than all these devotees, all these saints, all the acharyas, than Krishna himself. I know better. I can surrender later and still make it. Don't try to teach me. Right? We think we are more intelligent. Which is biggest foolishness. So the best way is to understand I am foolish, I know nothing. I have to simply follow the instructions of my spiritual master like a horse. Not looking here or there. Just follow. If we just follow sincerely till the end of our life, this life itself, we can perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think we'll stop here. It's very late. Yes, Madhuri. There are two? The question is that if there is a devotee A and devotee B, and devotee A has got very limited association of spiritual master, or maybe even of devotee, and devotee B, who's got very regular association of his spiritual master, both are following the process, what is better? Obviously, if you are receiving personal association of your spiritual master much more than somebody else, you are more fortunate. But more than receiving the instructions of the spiritual master, the more fortunate devotee is the one who is following them. Simply having association of spiritual master doesn't mean anything. There were many devotees, you know, in the early days of ISKCON movement, who had intense association of Srila Prabhupada. Intense. They were personal servants, or they were, you know, really hearing from him day in and day out, and met him, Prabhupada knew them, Prabhupada gave them so many services. Today, but today they are nowhere to be seen. They are not there in the movement. But there are some disciples of Srila Prabhupada who never met him. Never. His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj, once, you know, in some Pune Yatra or something, somebody asked him, some devotee asked him, "So Niranjan Maharaj, please tell us how you met Srila Prabhupada for the first time." You know? And he said, with a very gay look on his face, "I'm sorry, but I have never met Srila Prabhupada. Never." Just imagine. And that person is a sannyasi preaching in Russia. Behind the Iron Curtain, he was preaching in Russia, converted thousands of people into devotees, and he has never met a spiritual master. Never. So what is he attached to? What is the connection? The connection is the instructions of the spiritual master. If you are following the instructions of the spiritual master, that is as good as having personal association. In fact, better. If you have only personal association of the spiritual master, and you are feeling complacent because of that, and you are not following his instructions, what is the use? There is no value. The intensity, the progress, the realization comes from following the instructions of the spiritual master. Not just by having his physical association. By hearing his vani, by hearing his words, and by following those instructions, we are able to progress much better. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada Ki.